Hey, greetings everyone. This is Brother James, don'tperish.com, John 4:24 radio. Hope you're having a great day. Today I want to talk about discipleship to destruction. Discipleship to destruction. You hear a lot of conversation and talk these days about discipleship in religious circles, churches, home fellowships, all over the place. Today I want to talk about what is biblical discipleship that we see in Scripture, and then the result we see of man's discipleship, unbiblical discipleship, that leads to destruction. It's rampant today. It's all over. Let's start with the word. Luke 14:26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Wow, what strong words by Christ there. So what's a disciple according to God's word? Well, that word in the Greek, mathetes, it means a learner, a pupil, a disciple, a follower. So you're a disciple of Christ, you're following him, you're a learner of his ways, and you're being taught by him, his spirit, his word. That's what a disciple of Christ. Christ is the focus, his truth and teaching is what you're after, the result is what it turns your life into by the spirit and by the word, right? Jesus commanded in Matthew 28:19-20, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So we're to teach everything he commanded. That's Paul's words and Peter's and John's. It's the word of God. And we're to be making disciples, right? He talks about that in the book of Mark. In fact, in Matthew 28, it says, teach all nations. Some translations say, make disciples. So discipleship should be the goal of all of us. Followers of Christ, learning his ways, keeping his ways, living his ways, right? And it's the practice that we should all be seeking. Those who are seasoned and born again by the gospel, they are helping the people that are new to the faith, born again, to follow Christ, to grow in their stature and holiness and maturity, bringing themselves to be like the nature of God as his people, his children, and his saints, right? That's the whole goal. Now, if we look at Jesus' model, he discipled 12 men. That was it. Small core group. Oh, there were other people that claimed to be his disciples. He had 12 closest disciples. That's something to ponder. Men have churches of 500,000 people say they can make disciples. Jesus had 12 close disciples. Something to consider there. Paul was discipling Timothy, and also he was overseeing all of those New Testament bodies that were being born in the epistles. So we see what an example of biblical discipleship is. Holy lives, godly lives, set apart, out of the culture, out of false man-made religion, right? The Bible tells us over 50 times to one another each other, and daily in the book of Acts, they were part of each other's lives to help in this process. Accountability, encouragement, instruction, breaking bread. Read about that in Acts 2 and Acts 4. So this is very important. Just as the 12 lived daily with Jesus and watched over each other, encouraged each other, we should be living daily in Christ, and we should be looking after each other. If you know other true godly saints, many today, be careful, are just lip service saints. As Paul said, they have the appearance of godliness, but they deny the power of God. So discipleship is a daily thing. One of my favorite verses, Hebrews 3:12-14. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you of an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. So yeah, it's going to take endurance to be a disciple. So discipling is teaching the doctrines which are needed so we know how to follow Christ, ultimately leading to the kingdom of God and to eternal life. Doctrine is very important, and a true disciple focuses on doctrine. No compromise, no false man-made ways, no traditions of men, no watering down to have more people. Doctrine matters. 1 Timothy 4:16, Paul says, "Take heed unto thyself and unto thy doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee." So we're not saved by works, but what Paul is saying, if you're clearly born of Christ, walking in the Spirit of God, led by the Spirit, you're going to keep sound doctrine. The two go together. Faith and works, holiness and obedience back up our saving faith. So holy disciples in Scripture and today have left the culture. They've left the false man-made churchianity system. They're seeking Christ in truth, in the Word, following Jesus as a disciple, right? Makes good sense. It's a great, good, and godly cause to be involved in biblical discipleship. Now, it can happen if you are all by yourself and you're being discipled by the Word and the Spirit, right? It can also happen if you have a close one or two saints with you, brothers, in a local body, that we see in Acts or in the epistles, and they would be involved in your life, helping you on a daily basis, sharpening your iron and swords together. It's a beautiful thing, right? It is. So biblical discipleship looks like a person that is walking daily in keeping the commandments and the ways of the New Testament doctrines, some of the pre-Torah doctrine as well, like marriage and how we dress and don't eat blood. I have articles on all that at the Spirit and Truth blog at don'tperish.com. But these doctrines are handed down by Christ and by Paul and by others in Scripture with the goal of coming to obedience and holiness in a life perfected for the service of God and for God's glory. You know, a true disciple clings to God's word. Jesus said we live by every word out of the mouth of God, Matthew 4:4. And as a Berean, Acts 17, he or she will not compromise on truth no matter the cost. Never. He places Christ and God's word above everything else. And we can see this in the men of old that came before us, their examples and witnesses, dying, tortured, brutally, terrible deaths, because they would not give in to sin, compromise, heresy, favoritism of the day, even if they stood all alone. Many of them were executed all alone. Yeah, they had no one else with them. That's a true, holy, set-apart saint. Amen? Revelation 21:7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. So a disciple's got to endure. They got to walk in truth. They got to walk in holiness. They got to be willing to separate from people, the culture, kill their flesh, be hated for Christ's namesake, right? Matthew 10. So this godly discipleship that I'm explaining to you, it's all rooted in the Spirit and the Word of God. Of course, others, if you have them, they're holy with you, holy saints. They help you in the process, and it leads to what? A full maturity in Christ. Now, the Spirit and the Word of God is our true teacher, that we know. John 16:13 tells us that the Spirit teaches us all things. And 1 John 2:27 tells us we need no one else to teach us. So if we're all alone, we got the Word, we got the Spirit, we can still be a disciple. But it's great to have others with you that can help in that process. So the goal is Matthew 5:48. Jesus said, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." Perfect means fully mature. That's the goal, to become a mature disciple in truth and holiness, following Christ for God's glory, no matter the cost, no compromise, unto death. Yeah, that's a disciple. Now, the goal is not to have a body with lots of people that's growing. You got lots of friends and brethren, and you have a great social life. No, that's not the main goal. The goal is to be a disciple and follow Christ. What if everyone leaves the faith? What will you do? Ask yourself that. The goal as a disciple is your own personal spiritual growth, and that means close fellowship only with other true holy saints of a like mind. We'll get to some scripture verses on that. Now, that's what a true disciple is. That's biblical discipleship. Teaching, accountability, mentorship, if you want to call it, sharpening iron with each other, edification, studying, breaking bread, sharing life. Yeah, that's biblical discipleship. But there's a problem. The problem arises when people seek out others, compromise, and they get involved in organized religious bodies, generally in a building or in like a house church setting even. And these places often push discipleship, and it turns out to be a very human-centered way. They let psychology sneak in, traditions of men, seeker ways, loose watered-down doctrine, false heretical gospels, and a group consensus. You know, do what's better for the body, then, you know, let's not have any disunity or don't be contentious over a doctrine. And this muddies the water of pure, holy, biblical life and discipleship. You see what I'm saying? These systems, these religious bodies, the goal is growth. The goal is to have a body. They end up making disciples of men, not Christ, because of their programs. Think about that. You set out becoming a disciple of Christ. You get mixed up with the wrong people, you're going to end up being disciples of men. And it's going to disqualify you in the end. How sad. I don't want that to happen to you. These places lack the biblical gospel. They're not sound on doctrine. They lack on holiness. They're ecumenical with other false groups. They're worldly. They're carnal. And the will to stand alone for the truth, no matter what, is lost. Because people are looking to just gather in numbers. A true disciple has better qualities. A true disciple has sound doctrine, total holiness, uncompromising, willing to sacrifice and lose his life and everything for the cause of Christ. He would never compromise for a building or a body of people, for safety or for comfort. Paul spoke about these man-made systems, Colossians 2:8-10. "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, not after Christ. For in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." How glorious, right? A warning of man-made religion, man-made traditions, and then telling us we're complete in Christ. Now, all of this might sound crazy. I don't know how experienced you are with this, but most often it gets so twisted in these groups, most all of them, 99.99%, that they focus so much on the discipleship process and their programs and the group ways and their rules and the fellowship they have and the events and even putting on entertainment and the heartfelt needs of the one that starts out seeking Christ, the one that wants to be a disciple. And then they're looking after the body. They're looking out for the body, meaning they want to make it grow. They're pumping up, defending the body. It becomes people-centered, flesh-pleasing. It's no longer about Christ.
and His whole truth and holiness, it's about the group and making the group successful. Look at groups like the Anabaptists. Look at Catholics. You could look at Mormons. They're a cult. Look at the Jehovah's Witnesses. Look at, if I said Catholics, Anabaptists, Catholics, Evangelicals, all these groups. The group becomes the important thing. The truth and being a discipleship, disciple of Christ is lost, is what I'm trying to tell you. These bodies are often looking to maintain themselves or to grow, and so these discipleship programs are watered down, seeker-sensitive, they lower the standard of God, and it ends up being a demise to the true seeker of Christ if you compromise and go into that body. You're all set for the things of God. You might be striving, you got great zeal, holiness, you want to go out and do all these things for Christ and stand, and all of a sudden you come in the body and they say, we don't quite do it that way, you know, just kind of water it down and just go along to get along. I've heard that so many times. So you set out to be a disciple of Jesus, you end up compromised in a body, whether it's a house body or a body in a building, with all types of fellow compromisers around you. Didn't Paul warn about bad company corrupts? Think about it. If you surround yourself with people that compromise and you want to hang out with them, you're going to end up compromised. It just makes sense. Here's another truth. Consider this. There is no safety in numbers in God's theology. No. If you think you're better off in a body of 100 people than on your own, don't ask the people of Noah's day about that. Noah stood alone. They all died. He lived on. He wasn't compromised. He was a true disciple, a holy, righteous man. Now, next I'm going to say something that, you know, I would die on this. I believe this so much. You are better off alone in Christ or with other true saints in small numbers than you are in larger bodies where there's compromise and sin and false ways. People get mad at me when I say that because they think, oh, you're better off in a big group. No, you're not. Jesus didn't call us to big groups. He called us to truth and to holiness. Paul warned that apostasy was going to come in right when he left, and it did. And Jesus asked the question, will there be any true faith left when I return? I'll give you that verse at the end. So sadly, what I'm trying to tell you here is many are seeking fellowship in a body. Everybody thinks you got to run into a body, but what if there's no true bodies? Then you got a problem. Now you got compromise, right? And then discipleship becomes a part of these bodies, and they seem like they're growing and they're successful, you know, and they got all kinds of programs to move you along, and you really like it there, and you like the music, and there's all kinds of different people and different ways to gather. But the great danger for the true disciple is that you get swept away fitting into their group, and the truth of the one that you set out to be devoted to, Christ, gets diminished, traded away, washed out for the favor of man. Consider this, will you? This is happening all over the world and America. Proverbs 23:23 says, buy the truth and sell it not. I love that. Start out seeking and being a disciple of Christ in truth and do not sell it. Do not compromise for anything. This is about eternity. It's about salvation of your soul. So men that run in large numbers of brethren almost always begin to set aside the truth and doctrine for unity's sake. I've never met one body that's a decent-sized body. Let's say over 50 people, 50, 75, 100, 200. I've never seen one that has not compromised on doctrine to please everyone. Think about that. It's a cancer. Don't do it. Don't go there. I call it spiritual suicide. You're better off to strive on your own in the scriptures, waiting for what God would bring you, or maybe he's just going to have you stand alone and be a Noah in your day. Are you willing to do that as a true disciple? If you're not, you're not a disciple of Christ. You're a disciple of men. Yeah. Here's another fact. In the long run, for your own spiritual health, today's world, with all the corrupt false teaching and bad theology, 40,000 different heretical denominations, you're better off to be a true godly disciple, either on your own, I'll say it again, or in small numbers with other true saints, like in a home fellowship setting if you have biblical saints, then with some established body with programs, discipleship programs, leadership training, all of this man-made mumbo jumbo that means nothing to a holy God. Now, why would I say that? Well, Paul tells us what true disciples of Christ should be seeking in the body. Unity. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Go back and read that three or four times. Figure out what that means. It's pretty clear. So then I have a question for you. In this age of so much compromise and false doctrine and watered-down programs, sin in the so-called body of Christ, who are you going to stand a better chance of having holiness, biblical discipleship, and sound doctrine, pure sound doctrine, if you walk with just a small handful of true saints, or if you try to fit into a building or a system full of 50 to 500 people? Which one are you going to be able to find unity in easier, better, quicker, more for the glory of God? The answer is, it's going to be the few disciples. Jesus had 12 closest disciples. He didn't have 500. Unity comes in these small numbers. Excuse me. It's God's design. And we see that all over Scripture. So to be clear, so everybody listening to this knows, I'm all for biblical discipleship. But in the last days, the fact is, it looks like this. Very few in numbers. You'll be hated by most all, especially other religious people. You'll be holding tight to all doctrine and holiness, no matter the cost. You'll fellowship only with true saints of the like mind, no ecumenicalism and compromise. You will be nothing like the culture in your dress, your actions, your theology, your ways, your desires. Separation from others who claim Christ but teach and live in many false ways. And you'll be an outcast and mocked for truth. That's a disciple, a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Not popular, not in a building full of hundreds or many, many people. Yeah, I've heard false teachers say this. If you're in a body and you disagree on doctrine and most everybody disagrees with you, you should just submit to them and all go along and get along for the good of the body. Just think about that. That is so man-centered, so man-pleasing. You can't find one single scripture anywhere in the Bible that defends that. In fact, Peter says in Acts 5:29, we obey God over men. So if I teach you something that's false, you should never compromise just to get along with me. You should stand on what God's word teaches and rebuke me so I can come to the knowledge of the truth. That's godly love, by the way. So a true disciple of Jesus would never, ever, ever compromise on truth that nailed him to the cross. I should say, if we compromise on truth, that's sin, and that's what nailed him to the cross. We don't compromise because of that. For the sake of what? Fellowship, numbers, favor of man. Again, this makes you a disciple of men. Very, very sad. The goal, keep in mind, disciples of Christ, the goal is dedication to Christ, the one who died and bled for us. Then we be dedicated to others if they are walking in holiness and obedience. So dedication to Christ, number one. Dedication to others that are walking in holiness, it'll be a small number, I promise you. The goal of having a larger fellowship, lots of connections, lots of people all over, lots of programs, that's not found anywhere in Scripture in the last days. It should not be your priority if you're a disciple of Christ. All you do is live to please Christ, walk in His ways, And if you're with enough other people that believe that and walk in it and do it in purity and holiness, then you can live out the body life. If not, in these last days, are you prepared to do it alone as a disciple of Christ? Otherwise, yeah, you're a disciple of men, right? So I've shown you that many people in a body will continue to compromise. And I've witnessed to people and showed them their sin and their compromise. And you know what people say to me? This happens hundreds of times. They'll say, well, maybe we do have lots of sin, but I could never leave this place because I love the people. I love the fellowship. It's who I am. I'm never going to leave here. That's called fellowship idolatry. That's not a true disciple of Christ. Christ said we're to rebuke those in sin and put them out if they won't repent. Paul says, rebuke them in sin publicly, 1 Timothy 5. We never condone sin and false doctrine. Romans 16, 17 says to leave those, mark them, the ones who keep false ways. That's how you keep yourself holy. Did you know that? Holy means to be set apart as a true disciple of Christ. You're not holy as you sit with people that claim Christ and they live in sin. You're united to sin. You need to rebuke them and call them out of their sin. So if you're placing people, compromised doctrine, ecumenicalism, you know, going along with all the other denominations, over truth and holiness and doctrine, again, you're not a disciple of Christ. Who are you a disciple of? Yeah, it would be men. And you're not going to enter the kingdom that way, because he made the way for those who obey him. And God says he gave his Holy Spirit, Acts 5, to those who obey him. Are you obeying him as you live in sin and false ways? It's going to lead to your destruction. That's why I want to warn you about discipleship to destruction. That's the common path for most people. The Bible says we're bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:20. For you are bought with a price, wherefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You're not your own. I'm not my own. We can't live out our life and go, well, I really want to be with lots of people. I really want to be popular. I really feel comfortable and better in a place where there's lots of people on Sunday. It makes me feel so good. You're not your own. God says, be alone and suffer in my truth if you have to glorify him. What are you going to do when persecution comes and everybody runs and hides and they persecute you alone? How are you going to stand if you're standing with a bunch of false people? That's something to consider. The question is, whom do we serve? How about that? Who are we serving? Do we partake of sin and false ways against the one who shed his blood and died for us? No, not me, not my house. A true disciple will have very few holy true brethren today. I have articles on few at my teaching blog, don'tperish.com. Go to the teaching blog. Go look at the articles on few. You're going to see how few is few. It's very few. If you have a building full of 100 so-called saints, one or two of them might make it into the kingdom of God. Yeah, go look at my articles and do the math. Yeah, that's what historically few was. Only 8 got on the ark. I'll leave that there. Go read the articles. You know, I know this well because my wife and I walked alone for most of our life as Christians without knowing any other true, holy, set-apart, born-again saints. All those years, we refused to compromise on any truth, Christmas, Easter, worldly dress, compromise, false gospels, whatever, lady teachers. We refused. And you know what? It was hard. And it cost us a lot. Our reputation, people hated us. But you know what? It made us strong in the Lord. It made us Bereans. It made us lean on the Word and Christ. And yep, me and my wife leaned on each other because we had each other as true saints, but we were all in for God's way, not man's ways. And I believe that's why we're strong today, not because we're great, not because we have some great qualities. It's because of the Word and the Holy Spirit, we stood strong in that, and that grew us up. Our foundation's firm, and no one can move it. To be a disciple, you got to have a firm foundation in Christ, in the apostles and prophets, Ephesians 2 I'm talking about here, and then not be moved from it. I hear this all the time too. you might be saying this, oh, there's a lot of good, solid biblical bodies around. Really? I always ask people. Well, I would challenge you and them to show me those bodies of house buildings or regular buildings with a whole bunch of saints. I don't care if it's 20, 30, 40, 50 on up. Show me who these people are that are holy and not compromised for unity's sake. I want to know. I'd like to come see them, test them. If they really are that, we'll support them. We'll be their best workers. Where are these people? All these biblical bodies people tell me that are all over the place. You can email them to me. Don'tperish@outlook.com. I'm still waiting for the emails. People say they'll send them. I don't get them. My contention is there are not very many true biblical bodies out there. So be warned, as a disciple of Christ, don't compromise. I hope that this teaching gets you to ponder biblical discipleship versus the destructive kind, flesh-centered, man-centered, man-made tradition-centered, and ask yourself, who are you really following in the end? And then repent to be a true disciple of Christ, even if you have to walk it out alone. And you know what? If you know us, we'll walk with you if you want to be a holy, true disciple. We know what it's all about, walking alone, not compromising for numbers. And we'll teach you what God has shown us. And maybe there's things you can teach me. I'm ready to learn. So remember, one with God's truth and God's Spirit is better than 1,000 without Him and His truth and His Spirit. Just consider that. Stand strong in the oneness of being of Christ, not with the favor of people all around you. So the Bible tells us to come out of it all, to repent, to obey the gospel, to forsake all those other things, to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Have you noticed when you read the Bible, Jesus' disciples in Scripture knew the truth. They lived holy, separated lives completely from culture and false man-made religion. They boldly proclaimed it to death and torture. They never compromised on it one bit. And they called out those around them who claimed Christ that lacked it in any way. That's a true disciple of Christ. Is that you and I today? That's something we need to ask ourselves. I can say this, having walked this out for many years, I can testify that the best you're going to get in your Christian faith is when you're standing firm in the Word, in the Spirit, and you're either going to do that alone, or you're going to do it with a few precious saints. You're not going to do it with massive numbers of people. The true saints are scattered. The ecclesia, the called out ones, are few and rare. That's why I strive at my website. My wife, for the ladies on her blog and her area on the website, we want to be a disciple-making tool of holiness, no compromise, truth. The world is so lacking that. But God is so worthy that we would be solid disciples, rightly dividing the Word of God and not compromising. So God's Word, God's Spirit is what you need. He can equip you. You can walk alone if need be. We're here. You know about us if you're listening to this, and we'd love to help you and encourage you. Here's that verse. Jesus warned us in the last days, Luke 18:8. I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on earth? That's how bad it's going to be. That's how bad it's going to be. So much sin, so much worldliness, so much compromise, so much heresy, so much man-made discipleship, and not enough true, biblical, holy discipleship. I hope this article encourages you again. Repent, obey the gospel, check out the gospel, don'tperish.com. Go to the teaching blog or the teaching library. Thousands of articles to help you without compromise in the Word of God. Be a holy, true disciple of Jesus Christ. Don't follow all these false man-made ways that lead to your destruction. That's what I have for you today. Thanks for listening. Let us know how we can encourage you. If you'd like one-on-one daily encouragement and discipleship, contact us. Hey, let's see if we agree on the doctrines and have unity and fellowship to encourage each other on. We love the true saints. We love the Lord. Let us know how we can help you in the faith.
Till next time the Lord lets me come to you, what an honor it is to get to proclaim His word. I will not compromise on one bit of His word for the favor of men. I'm not going to do it. I don't care how many stand with me or how few do. I'm standing on the word of God. I hope that's your desire today. Till next time, may God be praised.